remember the exact moment she lost her mind. It was a Tuesday in October, and I was showing my friends this stupid TikTok of an AI cat pirouetting in a ballerina skirt when she first appeared at our table.
That's so Sigma.
She purred. We all looked up to find Sophia Bendetti from Calculus peering at my phone, wearing this shady smile that made my skin crawl. The girl had been watching me for weeks. She always kept her distance, never looking directly at me, but I could always feel her eyes on me. Thanks, I said, and went back to my phone. Her face fell. Maybe she was hoping for more. But I had an influencer girlfriend back in the state, and pretty much everyone who had a TikTok knew that. Sophia hovered for an awkward 30 seconds before drifting away. A few seconds later, she showed up to advanced trigonometry, wearing a pink tutu over her jeans. Her makeup was theatrical, with crooked eyeliner that made her look like a deranged doll. She sat in the front row doing these weird hand movements, like she was flowing to a tune only she could hear.
Is she having a breakdown?
Luca whispered. I shrugged, but every time my eyes met hers, she would grin at me. It was before lunch. I saw Sophia spinning her way through hallways while balancing a cappuccino cup on her head.
Cappuccino is here to slay, no cap.
She giggled, making all heads turn. She'd sip while spinning, never spilling a drop. And the weirder she got, the more attention she was paid. Students started filming her all around, posting clips with captions like, main character energy. But their laughter had an edge. Everyone could sense something was wrong with her. I avoided the hallway just so I wouldn't bump into her. But the moment I turned right, I found her standing at the corner like she was waiting for me. She came closer and gave me a cookie, saying,
You're the dopamine I'm addicted to. Can't wait to go viral with you.
I had had enough of her BS. I threw the cookie on the floor and yelled,
Sophia, you need to stop this. I have a girlfriend.
Everyone stopped and stared at us. I could hear a few girls laughing at Sophia. I thought she would leave, but instead, she tilted her head, asking,
Stop what?
This whole Miss Ballerina Cappuccino thing. You become a joke, Sophia. People are laughing at you.
Her face froze mid-smile. For a moment, I felt sorry when her eyes welled up with hurt and desperation. But she was quick to blink her mask back.
Joke? Can't say I mind much. As long as I'm a joke you find funny.
You know I won't. Ever.
Sophia stared at me, swaying like she couldn't decide whether to scream or cry. But she did neither. She just turned and walked away. The next two classes were horrible. My phone wouldn't stop buzzing from Sophia's texts. Notifications kept popping up, one after another.
You hurt me. I'm going to show you how much I love you.
I blocked her, thinking it's the best way to get rid of her. I was ready to go see the principal. I even skipped lunch in the cafeteria and ate in the library. I kept hoping I wouldn't see her. I just wanted the day to be over so I could go home and talk to my girlfriend. Suddenly, Luca came running into the library. He looked worried.
Marco, it's Sophia. She's on the table in the cafeteria. You need to come, man.
The blood in my veins froze.
What do you mean on a table? Just come.
I ran through the halls with my heart pounding. The sounds of screaming, shouting, and chairs scraping against the floor filled the air before I could even reach the cafeteria. Sophia stood on the center table, still wearing her tutu, spinning faster than humanly possible. Her phone was duct-taped to her wrist. Some Nightcore remixes were blasting at ear-splitting volume. Students had backed against the walls, phones out, but their faces were painted with horror. She held a steaming mug of coffee in her right hand.
Attention, simps and sigmas. Ballerina Cappuccina is about to deliver the ultimate performance of her life.
Her eyes found mine across the room and locked on.
It's all for you, Marco. It's all for you.
Every instinct I had screamed danger, but I couldn't move or breathe. Before anyone could process what was happening, she ripped off the lid and poured the entire cup over her skull. The scream that tore from her throat wasn't human. The coffee was boiling, with steam rising from her head like she was on fire. But she kept pouring, even as her scalp began to blister and peel.
Don't feel like I'm a joke, Marco!
She laughed, blood and coffee streaming down her face.
Still think I'm stupid?
Students were running and screaming, but I was frozen as she emptied the entire cup over herself. Her skin was coming off in strips, exposing raw flesh beneath. After that, she began spinning in that horrible condition. Our teachers intervened, but they were also terrified witnessing Sophia. No one could believe how a girl oozing with blood and burns could spin so fast. Finally, she collapsed on the floor while her eyes were still open, staring at me. I couldn't look away either. Her face was unrecognizable, but she still smiled at me and then whispered in her ragged breath,
"Now he'll remember me. He'll remember me forever."
Then she went still. They say she survived and was sent to an asylum for a brief period. I couldn't know. I went to college before she got out. I changed my number and deleted all my social media. But sometimes, late at night, I still hear her giggles in my head. And the worst part? She was right. I do remember her every single day. Every time I see a cup of a cappuccino, every time I hear music, every time someone spins around innocently, I'm back in that cafeteria, watching Sophia Bendetti destroy herself for my attention. I should have listened when my roommate Maya warned me about walking alone after night classes. She's been obsessing over these missing girls cases around the campus. 3 and 6 months, all of whom had vanished after evening psychology lectures. The university had managed to keep it under the rug, but students like Maya had a way of getting insider scoops. But there I was, at 9:47 p.m., broke with a dead phone, walking the exact same route where Sarah Byrne, Monica Rivera, and Ashley Park were last seen alive. Professor Scott's lecture had run late again, and I had to stay behind to help her with tomorrow's notes. As I walked on the deserted streets, the November cold cut through my jacket like knives. Those old oak trees behind the building created this wall of darkness. The woods stretched for miles, thick enough to hide anything. All of a sudden, I heard footsteps behind me. They were slow and deliberate, and mimicked my pace. I turned around to see a tall guy in a wrinkled suit some 20 feet behind me. He was grinning, staring like he'd won a stupid lottery. Even in the dim light, everything felt wrong with his face. "Rizgod never loses," he whistled, loud enough only for me to hear. My blood turned ice cold. It felt as if the wind had picked up pace. I walked faster. He matched my pace perfectly. When I glanced back, I saw his phone held up with the camera pointed at me. The blue glow lit up his stubbled face, and I could see he was older and scarier than I thought, maybe 30, with dead eyes.
"You're my baby," he called out. "Don't resist. Just duet with me."
I'd seen this before. Maya had shown me TikToks of girls being followed and filmed without consent. Without wasting a second, I fumbled for my phone and groaned, remembering it was dead. Panic crawled up my throat as I realized how isolated we were. The woods stretched to my right, empty buildings lined my left, and at least 4 blocks separated me from any main streets or human presence.
"Come on, don't be difficult,"
he clicked his tongue. His voice is louder now.
"Jen Bear thinks she's too good for us, huh?"
My heart stalled for a beat before slamming into overdrive.
"Hey, at least say hi to my friends,"
he chuckled.
"You're gonna be all over the internet, viral, just like the others."
The others? Was he talking about the missing girls? I ran toward the woods instead of away, hoping to throw him off. Maybe I could loop around and make it back to campus in time. But the trees felt like they were closing in, swallowing me as I pushed deeper into the dark.
"Brave girl,"
he hooted, while chasing me like a creep in shadows. It took everything not to collapse. I forced myself to focus, scanning for a way out. Then I remembered something Maya showed me, an emergency feature on our student ID app. Even with a dead phone, the panic button would ping my location to campus security. I pulled out my phone, praying for enough battery. The screen flickered as I hit emergency, then turned to face him. I screamed.
I've called the campus security! They know I'm here!
El Riz for being a spoiled sport!
He growled. I flinched as the soft click of a blade echoed through the rustling trees.
I'll make this special for my followers!
The knife was small but sharp, with dark stains on the blade that made me sick. Without hesitation, he pressed it against his arm and carved an L into his skin. Blood ran down his hand, but he never stopped smiling. He licked the blood off his skin, then said,
See how dedicated I am? The others didn't appreciate my commitment, but I've a feeling you will.
I started running again. I knew if he got me, that'd be the end for me. He was constantly yelling at me to stop and pose for his followers, but all I could see was an endless tree line no matter which direction I headed.
Rizgod takes what he wants!
He screamed. There was only darkness and the sound of him getting closer. My lungs burned and my legs felt like jelly. Then, I saw red and blue lights flashing through the trees. A siren was growing louder.
No, no, no!
He screamed behind me.
We were just getting to the good part!
I stumbled out as two patrol cars pulled up. Officers had weapons drawn, flashlights cutting through darkness.
Jennifer Morrison?
One called.
Campus security got your emergency alert.
I collapsed, sobbing with relief. They caught him 20 feet behind me, still holding the bloody knife, still grinning. As they cuffed the man, I heard an officer radio.
We got him. The TikTok killer, Marcus Webb.
Later at the station, they showed me his phone. We had hours of footage of girls walking alone, running scared and begging to be spared. He ran a twisted forum on the dark web where he unloaded the last moments of his victims. His follower count was hundreds of thousands. People actually watched this stuff, bet money, and enjoyed it. Officer Williams said they'd been tracking him across multiple states. I was supposed to be victim number 7. They found the bodies 2 days later, all buried in those woods, shallow graves marked with carved wooden stakes. The trial was a circus. His lawyers claimed performance art and mental illness, but the evidence was overwhelming. Hours of footage showing him stalking women while his audience cheered. He got life without parole. His TikTok got banned, but the videos are still out there, shared on dark corners of the internet. I don't walk alone anymore, ever, and I obsessively check my phone battery. Sometimes I think about his followers, those thousands of people who watched girls being tortured mercilessly and typed W in the comments. They're still out there, waiting for the next sick creator to follow the trend and keep the loop going.
I moved to Milan 3 months ago for a job at this tech company. Life felt good. Better than good, actually. I was addicted to those Italian memes and weird internet stuff. So living here was the exact dopamine hit that promised the high. But being 23 and alone in a foreign country gets lonely real fast. I didn't have many friends yet, and weekends were usually spent curled up in a blanket at home, scrolling the gram for hours. That's when Lucy from accounting came up to me with a pet carrier during lunch. She had this wide smile that seemed a bit too excited.
You said you wanted a companion so badly. I found the perfect one for you.
She squealed. When she opened it, I saw a cat with a name tag, David, hanging on its collar. David was not like any cat I'd ever seen. No hair at all, with skin that looked see-through under the light. His eyes bulged out of his head like they were about to pop. His arms and legs were way too long for his body. He was bigger than most cats.
He's, different,
I said, intently eyeing the weird creature.
Oh, isn't he special?
Lucy giggled. The moment she left, the cat looked right at me and made this rough whisper that sounded like, Yeah. And I burst out laughing, this was it. It was peak brain rot come to life. I whipped out my phone and started recording, dubbing him the Gato Gyat. Within hours, the video had blown up. 500K views, thousands of comments. People were losing their minds over this bizarre Italian meme cat. I felt like I'd struck internet gold. But as I returned home, I noticed the cat's behavior getting weirder. I found him trying to crawl at my bedroom door with these unnaturally long claws, repeating gyat in different tones. Sometimes it sounded high-pitched. At others, it was so deep, it sounded like it came from somewhere else entirely. When I yelled at him to stop, he stilled completely. Then he stood up on his hind legs and stared at me with his bulging eyes. He wasn't even blinking. He just stared and stared and stared. Ignoring all this, I fed David and ate dinner. Around 12, I was lying down in my bed, scrolling through comments on my recent video, when I heard someone calling from the living room.
Hey, come here for a sec.
My mouth went dry, and my heart hammered. I live alone in a two-story house. As I stepped into the living room, I found David in the center of the room. He was again standing in his tubes. And not just that, he was smiling, like a solid, scary, psycho grin. When he spoke again, my soul left my body.
Contemplating life choices, aren't we, Marco?
The creature crept closer, baring its teeth at me.
You shouldn't have let me in.
I bolted into my room screaming. I slammed the door shut, just in time before the cat, or whatever it was, lunged at me. In the chaos, my phone flew out the open window, tumbling into the alley below. For 8 hellish hours, I begged whatever God was listening to keep me alive. David didn't stop. He hurled furniture at the walls and pounded on my door with fists. But the worst part wasn't the noise. It was the voices, mocking and bleeding through the wood like poison.
Come out and play, Marco,
he'd whisper in my tone.
Don't you want to make another video?
Around 3 a.m., the banging got so violent, I was certain he'd break through. I crawled into my closet, pulled my knees to my chest, and tried to convince myself this wasn't happening. Fever set in somewhere around dawn. My body was shaking uncontrollably as the sounds of shrill meowing and demonic growls numbed my ears. This continued for God knows how long. But suddenly, it all stopped. I couldn't hear anything more. I finally found the courage to open the door. Outside my bedroom, the apartment looked like a crime scene. Furniture was overturned. Dishes were smashed. Deep claw marks were gouged into every surface. In the living room lay a crumpled pile of what looked like empty skin, mixed with blood and foul-smelling translucent liquid. There were tracks of bloody stains all over the floor, like someone dragged a dead body in my house. And David? Well, he was gone. My phone sat on the kitchen counter, somehow unbroken despite the chaos. There was one new video in my camera roll, recorded at 4:17 a.m. The footage showed my living room. David stood in the middle of the frame, but he wasn't David anymore. His skin hung loose like an oversized coat. And underneath? God, I couldn't name what was underneath. Something with too many joints. Fingers that bent in directions that shouldn't exist. And a face that kept shifting between human features I couldn't recognize. As the thing shed David's skin completely, it turned to look directly into the camera. When it spoke, it used my voice again.
Yeah, damn, this body's getting old. Time to find a new one. Thanks for the followers, though. They're going to love what comes next.
The video ended with the sound of my apartment door opening and closing. I haven't posted anything since. Every time I see a viral video now, every time something becomes an instant meme, I wonder if it's really organic or if something else is using our obsessions against us. Skinwalkers are adapting, evolving, and learning our language through our screens. David is still out there somewhere in Milan, probably wearing someone else's face and speaking in someone else's voice. And sometimes, late at night, when I'm scrolling through my feed, I see comments on random videos that make my stomach drop. Comments that just say, yeah, and get thousands of likes.